And we are back. Yost, how you doing today, man?
Good, Todd. I was doing some research about the new space restaurants. Have you heard about these?
No.
Apparently, good food, great staff, great service, right?
Okay.
It doesn't sound like it has much atmosphere.
I'm guessing probably not.
I'm doing good. I'm here.
I'm glad to be here. I'm here with bells on. We've been a week from our last pod. It's Sunday the 10th for everybody joining us today. It's good to be back. And today I do not have a sponsor for today's episode. But in the same vein as the restaurant that Yost is highlighting, I have a fact of the day for you.
Okay.
All right. So nowadays, Lance is a pretty uncommon name. But in medieval times, people were called Lancelot.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
I got to just give credit to my wife on that one, because that is, I laughed a lot at that yesterday. So, oh, man. Dude,
yeah, that was a good one. I also don't love the word a lot. Like, I don't know. My whole life, I pretty much, up until like a couple years ago, I spelt it as one word. And now that I know it's two, like, I can't be bothered with it.
Yeah.
It's just annoying. I like it as one word.
Just use many.
Yeah, definitely.
So getting into some stuff today, Yost, I think we got a decent amount of stuff to talk about. I'll preview it or tease it, but we're going to get into some sports movie rankings. So I'm excited for that.
I have a feeling
that I may have cheated a little bit, but we'll see what you think and see how your list looks compared to mine.
Working outside the box, okay.
Yeah, so I'm excited for that. I don't know. What do you got today?
I got a few things. I got the first thing I'm going to jump into, because I like to blindside you with a few things. We're back on the moral dilemma train. For those of you that listen to old episodes, I like to give a situation, a moral dilemma to Todd, blindside him with it. See what he thinks, and then I chime in. So today, the accidental Samaritan.
Oh, what does that even mean?
Okay, you're involved in a two-car crash on your way to work one morning in which you accidentally hit and kill a pedestrian. As you get out of the car, you're intercepted by a tearful woman who seems to think that she hit and killed the pedestrian. You're not sure why she thinks she hit the person, but she is convinced. There's only you, the woman, and the person you hit in the road. There are no witnesses. You know that whoever is deemed responsible will probably be sent to jail. What do you do? Confess your responsibility? You wouldn't be able to live with the guilt of an innocent person being in jail for a crime you committed. Or let the woman take the blame. The thought of being locked away from your life and family is too much to bear.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think this is a pretty easy one for me. Okay. And it's twofold. So my reaction would be, I would basically take the blame if it was me and I was sure of it.
Right.
Partially because I just think that, you know, that's the honest, the moral, the right thing to do. And I think that's a good virtue for everybody to have, but also because somebody saw something. There's going to be a camera. There's going to be something. And maybe she's playing you. You know what I'm saying?
So that's my first instinct.
Or maybe I'm on a reality TV show.
Right. Yeah, like, that'd be the worst.
So
that'd be the worst.
But honestly, I don't think I would hesitate. It'd be obviously like tragic, horrible, be manslaughter, whatever. But that'd be my instant reaction, I guess. I don't know. What do you think would have a different reaction?
No, and like it's obvious to take the responsibility, because I just imagine you do say the lady did it, and then like worst case scenario, you're on a freaking game show and like everybody in the world sees you do that. But just the idea of like you're always nervous that somebody knows and like is going to come forward. But like the other side of it too is the information that I need is, do you always go to jail if you are in an accident? Like, yeah, if it's your fault, you're texting and driving, you're drunk and driving, whatever, that makes sense. But like, let's say a person walks out into the crosswalk, not even a crosswalk. Let's just say they're crossing the street and they're on their phone, have headphones in or something, not paying attention. And they jut out between two cars right as you're like there. I can't imagine that's jail time, but I don't know. I don't know the law.
Well, Well, it's manslaughter, and yeah, assuming we're taking out all of the negligent possibilities from the person that, you know, what is the person that hit the not the victim, basically. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Right.
It's either voluntary or involuntary, right? So voluntary is a pretty high chance of jail time. Involuntary, I think, can still have that, but it depends on like intent or like it still goes back to like negligence, I think. So if somebody's let's just imagine somebody's whacked out of their mind on a hallucinogen and they sprint out into a road where you're going 30.
Yeah.
And you just don't see them and you smoke them.
Yeah.
Like, I still think that that's probably manslaughter, but I don't think there's much in the way of charges. I don't know though. I guess
you'd have to almost like do the tox screen on the victim and realize that if there were substances in their system that altered their state of mind, like that maybe is what gives you less of a sentence, I guess.
Right.
Cause so the reason I wonder that is because my old job, I used to work pretty closely with a lot of truck drivers who hauled stuff all over the state. And a guy that came out of Cheyenne every day told me a story about a hill coming into Casper from Cheyenne on the interstate. And it's like middle of the night. And as he comes down the hill, there's a guy laying in his lane. And so without being able to stop and everything, he just plastered the dude. And nothing happened to him, because they ended up finding out that it was like in his car, he had like a suicide note and stuff like that. But in that situation, like even if he didn't have a suicide note, that's like such a freak situation where he wasn't able to stop and there's a man laying in the road. Like, then it's like, how do you blame the guy, unless the trucker, unless he had plenty of room to stop and he just continued to go forward. But that's weird. That seems weird.
It does. To throw
that guy in jail for that situation.
So, like, I'm just looking here.
Assisted suicide? Is that what that would be considered?
Oh, geez. No kidding. So, just an example. So, federal level base sentence for involuntary manslaughter is 10 to 16 months in prison, which increases if the crime was committed through act of reckless conduct or commonly with automobiles. It's higher still, but judges can use discretion in those cases. And I think that's where that, if there was no reckless conduct and it was not your fault, honestly, this isn't a question for us. I wish we had some law background, but I wonder if there's no reckless conduct, is there even a charge?
Yeah, right.
And I got to go back to your original dilemma question though. Yeah. The other thing is, how do you live with that, putting that on somebody else the rest of your life?
I think that's what it comes down to, is like, even if you're a bad person, like the guilt, it's just going to like compound exponentially as time goes on. Like that's something I feel like you don't forget. You know what I mean?
I know.
Like even with like, you start drinking, you start doing drugs or whatever, and then it just gets worse because you're like trying to cut. Yeah. I don't know. And then realistically, yeah, you just kill the other lady, drag both the bodies off, hide the car, and then it just act like it never happened. So
that's what they do in a lot movie.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of freaking horror movies and crime, listening to crime podcasts and stuff. Nobody ever gets away with it, which is funny.
Speaking of that.
I'll go first.
Oh, man.
Just because I said it first, not because I'm needy. Small Town Murder is a great podcast for true crime stuff. It's like two comedians that do true crime. Which is interesting, because you think, you know, what would be funny about that? But they basically go to, each episode is like a small town in the United States. So they try and do all 50 states rotating through, and they make fun of, you know, like how bad the police department was or how goofy the town is and stuff like that. And it's really good. There's some crazy stories on there though, that a lot of people like. The one in Wyoming, I'm pretty sure was in Sheridan. I have to double check. And they do, they make the rotation a couple times. So if you're looking for a true crime podcast, Small Town Murder is a really good one. So
nice. Yeah, I bet that's super interesting. What I was going to say, which is going to parlay us into the next topic I at least wanted to briefly touch on, but thinking about, and we've talked about it with the serial killer stuff, but how it's so impossible nowadays, if you are a, a criminal to get away with anything. Everybody's so connected. Like, okay, so yesterday, sorry, this is Sunday. So Friday night, I ran to the store, and on my way back, I was like, I'm going to stop into this liquor store and just look and see if they got any good deals on some unique like bourbons or ryes or something that I wanted to just stock the cabinet with. So I just made a quick pit stop. As I pulled in, parked, I got out of the car. I literally have a 15-step walk to the front door of this place. I hear this loud like crunch and car driving like off of the main drag, like in this parking lot. And it was a truck that had smoked a 10-foot tall snow pile that had been there for a week. So it was like ice.
Yeah.
And he just like drove through it. And I was like, oh, look at that. That was dumb. He was probably just messing around and didn't realize that was going to be solid ice. That's what I thought to myself.
Yeah.
So I go in, keep doing my stuff. And no shit, like 60 seconds later, I'm standing over in the whiskey section, which is near where the drive-thru window is. And I hear this grinding / bang noise. And the guy that works there, it was pretty quiet. There was only like two people in the whole store. The guy that works there walks over, looks out the window, and he's like, are you shitting me? And I was like, what happened? He's like, this dude just wrecked. And I was like, what? And I looked out there, and it was the same truck. And I was like, uh-oh. I was like, I just saw that dude smoke a ice bank out in the front parking lot. I suspect that wasn't an accident. And he's like, you think he's hammered? And I was like, well, the facts don't lead me to any other assumptions, I guess. But
right.
So he was like kind of pissed. Cause he's like, now what the hell do I do? This dude's stuck in this. So the drive-thru is on like a retaining wall, and he drove off the edge of it and was high centered on the retaining wall in between the handrail.
Yeah.
And so he was trying to figure out what to do and who to call. And this other guy in the store went out to look to see if he could help this guy. And I was like, I don't know if we want to get involved with this guy cause he's drunk. So I just finished up my business. And as I was leaving, I took a video, which I sent to you.
Yeah. Yep. I remember that.
But the dude got out of his truck. He's high centered on this retaining wall / rail with the handrail on the outside. His outside two wheels are still spinning because he left it in gear and he had it in four wheel drive. Got out, doors wide open, and he just like left. And I was just like, and to me, I'm like, I said, I'm getting out of here, but there's no way that guy's getting out of that, right?
No.
I mean, I got a video of it. The other people there, I'm sure, took pictures. If I would have stayed around, I'm sure the police would have been there. And that was a long-winded story for my point. But like, you can't get away with anything anymore because everybody's...
Right.
I captured it. I was like, I got to share this. This was wild. Yeah. And as I drove away, the back tire was rubbing on the retaining wall and smoking. I was like, this is this is wild.
Yeah, that's funny.
So it's just kind of crazy. But the thing I wanted to get into was on the tech side. Obviously, with what's going on in the world and the storming of the Capitol and the chaos in the United States is pretty wild. But the one thing that I guess I have some what's the word? Nerve, I guess some nerves about is the social media kind of censorship stuff that's been going on.
Right.
And I don't know whether I really care about what has been done. It's just like a slippery slope. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, I just think we're all, well, I don't know if I can say that. I'm going to generalize this because I thought of a funny business idea that's going to come up in future podcasts, but I'm going to blanket statement this. It's we're all like fine with it. It seems like other than the people that stormed the Capitol.
Yeah. And, and we see it all the time when other countries are going through some turmoil, like they turn off the internet in the country. You know what I mean? Like, They like don't allow people to access the outside world and have communication and stuff. And I can't help but think about the time, obviously, like we're not at that point, but I can't help but think about the time of like the Revolutionary War, like us fighting for our freedom and just like what that looked like, you know, in the Capitol or wherever, because like now it's all done. Technology. So everybody in the world can have a say and get people fired up and get people organized. And back in the day, I just feel like what did that look like when you're trying to overthrow somebody or you're trying to change policies or whatever it is? Like, it just seemed like it probably took so long to get anything organized, where now we could just be like, hey, you guys free tomorrow at 2? All right, I'll see you there. And then 10,000 people show up. So
I know.
I just wonder like we're, I only compare the two because it does seem like right now we're living through history, like through 2020 and through now, where, and I say living through history is like an event such as 9/11 and, you know, some of the horrible like shootings that we went through, the Boston bombing and all that stuff. Like, this is definitely a moment where in history books down the road, like my kid growing up in high school will definitely be learning about what happened in 2020 and 2021. And so it's like, I just think like people that were during World War One and Pearl Harbor and all that stuff, like, it's such a weird thing to wrap your mind around, and you know that there's going to be change coming, but like it might not happen for a little bit. And the censorship of everything could lead us down a crazy path that we can't see yet.
Well, that's the point that I guess I was trying to make, is regardless of how you feel about any of the current events, let's just put that to the side. But we are so reliant on Facebook, Twitter. I mean, all of these sources. I mean, I just named two, but there's a million of them. Yeah. And they're all, we just saw the proof on how they're going to basically say they're going to label it as harmful to the country or problem causing, and censor these folks. Whether or not they need censored, I'm not here to argue about, but fast forward a year from now, I already have talked to you about how I don't know what I can find is true or not. You know what I mean? I can't make up my decisions on anything because I just can't find information. So it makes me nervous for where we're going to be, you know, 1 year, 5 years from now, because I think some people realize it, but then those people get, you can't speak that outwardly. You're one of the people that stormed the Capitol if you express that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't know.
And it's crazy too to think that like you ban somebody from social media or whatever, like, do they understand like burner accounts? Like, it's so easy to make a second account unless you IP ban somebody, which I know is possible. And I don't know if that's what they did, but like, yeah, you can just get your voice back out on the internet as somebody else. You know what I mean? So right now, if you're blocking people's accounts, you know, it's easy workaround, but as soon as you start IP blocking people, like to where you have to basically buy a new phone or a new, you know, router and stuff like that to get back online, like that's where it gets wild. So
I just, the other side of it is like, maybe there is some validity to cancel on Trump's account or some of these other accounts, but I heard of some weird ones. Like I heard, I'm trying to remember the exact name of it. Sci-Hub, I think, was a site to go get free information, scientific factual information that gets, what am I trying to say? Basically, you have access to that information through this Sci-Hub social media account that otherwise would be behind a paywall for you to have to be a researcher or somebody that's paying to get it. That got pulled. Like, that kind of stuff makes me a little bit hesitant. And then the other weird one is like, that's fine. Let's not argue about whether Trump should or shouldn't have been suspended. But there's literally like people in the world who are openly pro-genocide against certain minorities and groups that are on Twitter and Facebook. And it's like, well, but those people are okay. Like, that's the weird part that I just can't, I don't know, man. It's, and I don't really want to get into it too much because it's really hard for me to form thoughts about it other than I'm just nervous and worried, I guess. But
yeah,
who knows? Well,
when I think, so comparing two things here, when I'm looking up Sci-Hub, and basically a quick rundown is they basically release or they provide free access to academic papers that are otherwise you have to pay to look at.
Yep.
And those academic papers are usually peer-reviewed documents, heavy with data and everything, but it's like reliable sources. So they got a lot of stuff because of lawsuit with copyright and all that. But the hate groups that are on there that do active recruiting and stuff like that, and people that spread false information, to me, that almost seems super obvious, and it makes me wonder why they banned Trump, is because if the world's literally all about, like we've talked about it, if they're trying to keep us scared and separated from each other and arguing all the time, like, of course they're going to leave those things that are detrimental to humans being like working together. And then, of course, they'll ban something where we can get all the proper information. Now, I don't know much about Sci-Hub. Maybe they had some other weird agenda that we just don't know about. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, of course, if the goal is to keep people scared, then let's leave all the sketchy stuff up, but ban the important stuff. So, yeah. Realistically, if you ban Trump, that's kind of going against what I just said. Like, you know, he says things that could cause controversy and could cause some uproar. And if that's the goal, to keep everybody, like, angry with each other, then you think you'd keep that on. But I don't know. That's just me assuming. Like, realistically, if there's any conspiracy theory that I believe in, it has to be, like, Illuminati, like, kind of controlling us on that level. I know that's one of the weirdest things, that it goes so deep, but, like, we've talked about it a ton. Like, providing us with content, 30-second clips for kids to watch and lose their attention span, like that, yeah, we're just creating a generation of kids that are going to struggle when they get older, and instead of having new ideas, they're just going to keep soaking in other people's ideas and just keep moving. Like, I don't know. I think about this way too much because I have, like, nothing else to do, but yeah, I just, if there's any conspiracy theory to believe in, I think it's the fact that, like, there's a group of people keeping everybody from working together, basically.
I don't discount that as a possible option. Yeah. I guess when we get removed from all podcast sources because we're talking about this, we'll know for sure.
Yeah, once we get freaking, they'll still let us post stuff, but it'll basically be a shadow ban where it stops being. We still post to the internet, but it stops showing up in searches and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Oh, man. Anyways, I guess to lighten things back up a little bit, how did your first week into, we're going to call it the first week into 2021 after we talked through our goals, how'd it go for you?
It's gone well, honestly. The theme for me for January is easing into it. I could have done better on certain things. Like, right now, my schedule is so sporadic that my default setting a lot of times is to, you know, pick a fast food option or, you know, do something unhealthy, move less. But the aspect that's gotten better is, like, educating myself on, like, some of the things I wanted to read, mental toughness, educating myself on just things that are, like, going to be beneficial, like still reading books, reading some parenting stuff, and then mental toughness stuff, and then kind of incorporating it. And then this week is going to be kind of a step up. So if last week was a 10% improvement, this week's going to be, you know, hopefully like 20-25.
Nice.
There's always room for improvement, but that's where I most of the time make mistakes, where, like, last week maybe I had a rough week, and this week I feel like I have to have that 0 to 100 reset, and then I just fail again by Wednesday. So it's just going to be a gradual, it's more about, like, I want to see where, like, January 1st, 2022, I want to see that progress, but I also can't, like, keep putting it off. You know what I mean? I can't be like, I'm going to start next week, or I'm going to start in February. Like, there's gotta be some progression to it. So, sure. So not so bad. Not so bad.
Good. So brief highlights on some of the ones that I can give instant feedback on, for my goals. I have been reading every morning instead of flicking on TV. I've been reading in the mornings, and then going straight to my workouts on the Echo bike and other things, and working on mobility and yoga to try to, you know, get less injured and more back in shape. So I think right now, let me look. I did an Echo bike ride yesterday, during football. So that was actually awesome because the time just flies. But so we're on the 10th of the year, and I've already done 8 Echo bike workouts. I did 2 one day.
Nice. That's good.
Yeah. So that's going well. Diet cleanup is coming around. Actually a lot better than I thought. I've done some stuff trying to really up the electrolytes in water to try to get rid of some of those, you know, sugar withdrawal symptoms. And I think it's worked. You know, a couple of days I was like, man, I got a headache, and that's when I started doing that, and it's kind of gone ever since. So
yeah, man, the body's a son of a gun. It should be like, hey, I'm treating you like shit, body. So, but then when I stop, the body's like, well, here you go. I'm going to start treating you like shit. So
no kidding.
Yeah. Go Bills, go Browns. That's all I got.
It's freaking Seahawks, man. They suck.
Yeah. They struggled. So, but that's been a Seahawk fan, the life of a Seahawk fan for a while now.
We had some peak years there for a minute, but yeah, before that was a lot of heartache. Yeah. Although it's hard to argue that the Bills and the Browns haven't had that as well. So
right, the Browns are, and the Bills. I mean, I'm only really rooting for the Bills because of Josh Allen, but
right.
But yeah, so I don't know. I don't know football, so my football minute is limited to just go Bills, go Browns. So
your football minute is limited to 5 seconds.
Yeah. It's a New York minute. Yeah, so on that note, you know, talking about scheduling and stuff like that, like, you know, we're in the thick of it right now with hoops. And we had some long nights last week, and this week's not any easier. But hindsight being 2020, and that doesn't even fit with what I'm going to say because I'm going to talk about the future.
Dude, time out. Hindsight being 2020. Hindsight is always 2020. How fitting is that for last year being 2020?
Yeah, there's.
We need to start making merch with that.
Well, so that was kind of a thing that I had seen like during the summer of conspiracy theorists was 2020. And dude, I'll even jump in. Okay, and I can't give you the exact timing here, but I'm gonna look. So something happened with the Aztec calendar. Okay, we all remember the Mayan calendar or whatever that said what year was that? 2012,
yep.
Right. So there's this thing that shows that they were talking about there was days that were lost due to us changing calendars or whatever. And if you compound that by how many years we had used the new calendar, it equals 8 years. Okay, stay with me here. So when we used the old school calendar, I think like the Julian calendar, it predicted that the end of the world was 2012. But the Gregorian calendar or whatever, when we changed it, we lost days, compound that by how many years or whatever, it ended up being 8 years. So technically everybody was saying that they got it wrong by 8 years and it was supposed to be 2020 was the end of the world or the start of the end of the world. Take that information where you will and, you know, whatever. But like there were so many things like hindsight being 2020 and the Mayan calendar stuff. And it was there's a lot of religious tie in with it and all that stuff. So it 2020 was
well,
weird.
I mean,
and
if we're going to get say conspiracy, then why don't we say that if why is eyesight perfect eyesight called 2020?
Right. And I mean, let's go, you know, like if you could see clearly. You can see all the BS starts to get exposed and you can see the cracks in the system and the weird shit happening. And it happens all in 1 year and people start calling it out. Realistically, there is a breaking point with all this stuff. Like, I know we're jumping right back into it, but like, I kind of love the idea of people getting upset with the way things are being run. Like, it's like the underdog thing to me. Like, if everybody's upset with how things are run because the undefeated champion, whatever that is in this situation, democracy or just old shitty politicians and stuff like that, like not doing things for the people. Like, I love the idea of the people being like, we've had enough. And like this time it's like not just we're ranting on Twitter or we're doing this. It's like people are like literally sitting in their houses freaking out right now because they don't have the money, because they don't have a job, you know, whatever it is. They're getting upset with the way things are being run and they're starting to like push back. And I think it's awesome. And I kind of want to see it. I also don't want the United States of America to just tank, but like, I love a good revolution.
I love a good revolution.
Yeah, dude, I've been listening to freaking Rage Against the Machine since hilarious. I was little.
yeah, that's true. I have too.
And I like, yeah, man, I want some fight. And then to hear politicians that are like, I stopped listening to Rage Against the Machine when I found out what their stuff was about. are you kidding me? Like, it took you this long to realize that what they're talking about? Like, it's in the name of the band. You, sir, are the machine. Yeah, so I don't know much about politics. It is frustrating that it's literally like, it just doesn't feel like they're using, and maybe I'm leaning a certain way by saying this. I don't know. I just don't think, like, we've both kind of hit in that libertarian aspect of things where a little less government would be great, but like, they also just don't seem to have people's best interest. Maybe
totally
that's just
agree.
Me. But
I agree with that. I mean, it's weird. I actually went down this rabbit hole the other day. Let me see if I can pull it up, because I actually thought it was interesting. And I was like, wow, I've kind of bounced between our current political partisan parties or whatever, or right. Bipartisan, you know, I can't remember exactly what that's called. But yeah. I saw something that was like explaining it to a child.
Yeah.
And it was really succinct. And let me see here. Let me pull it up. I got it. Hold up.
Explain like I'm five. One of the best subreddits on Reddit.
No kidding.
Explain like I'm five, dude. I do that shit all the time.
Okay. So just for example, some of the ones that I was like were interesting to me were, okay, social and human ideas. Democrats are based on community and social responsibility. Republicans are based on individual rights and justice. Right. Stances on the military. Democrat is generally decrease, and these are all generalizations, but generally decrease military spending. Republicans generally increase military spending. And then there's all the ones that are super gray, like gay marriage, abortion, death penalty. Yeah. Like all of those are super gray. And then let's see, here's another, where's the other one? Oh, stance on government regulation. This was the one where I was like, boy, this one is really tough for me to understand. But so Democrats generally pro government regulation to protect people, and Republican is generally for less or no government regulation and cater to free market and capitalism for that. So that's like wildly different, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And then the other one that I thought was interesting is immigration, because they're kind of the same, but they're also very different. Republicans are for amnesty, against amnesty, whereas Democrats are pro amnesty for illegal immigration. So I don't know. Anyways, just a sidebar. We kind of got derailed there.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, to wrap this up in a nice bow, I know, like, we've talked about this for a long time, and it's funny how, like, it's mainstream now. Like, everybody knows. But, like, when we were younger, we used to always joke about an FBI agent listening to us all the time. Like, listening to our conversations, our stuff we talked about on video games, everything, phones. And now it's, like, a funny meme where it's, like, you know, you say something and then it shows like an FBI agent on the other line, like crying, you know what I mean? Like, but like, if you're listening to this, if my FBI guy's listening to this right now, I see you. Like, I know you're there. Let's join together, start a revolution. Cause I love a good revolution. Anyways, moving on. Yesterday, quick sports minute, sports corner. We had a game in Douglas, South Dakota.
Where is Douglas, South Dakota?
It's right outside of Rapid. It's the Air Force base.
Oh, okay.
Community. Yeah.
I think I bought some tires from a guy there.
Yeah, Douglas. It's an interesting place. So when I first moved to South Dakota and was coaching, I saw on our schedule we're playing Douglas. So I thought we were going all the way to Wyoming to play Douglas. I just thought it was really weird.
That sounds wrong, though. You said it's out by the Air Force Base. I bought tires out, like, literally just south of the Air Force Base one time. I'm looking. It looks like it's called Box Elder.
Yeah, okay. Box Elder, yep. Which it's all become, like, one thing at this point.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyways, tough, heartbreaking game for the varsity. Just kind of got, kind of got behind. Shots weren't falling, which has kind of been the name of the game lately. And freshman game, like, man, I struggle with this. Okay. I don't take, like, okay, so freshman games a lot of the times is an opportunity to showcase the things we've been working on. to get better. Obviously, like sometimes freshman games I see as our practice. You know what I mean? Like there's no weight behind them. So you're just kind of you're seeing what other teams give you, and then you're building a practice plan based off of that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, okay, yeah. I guess these guys are going to press the whole time. So we're going to do a prep. We're going to work on press breaker. And yeah, we play some tough teams, and I've been on the opposite end of some absolute slobber knockers where, you know, we score 15 points and they score 90, right?
Oof, yeah.
And I'm not the kind of guy that if a coach is pressing me, like if I feel like we're struggling or we're close to getting it, I'm going to go to that coach and say, hey, will you keep it on the, like, as long as possible? Because it's a learning moment, right? Like, not only are you learning the basics of a press break, but you're also learning how to dig deep and persevere through like literally the worst situation. Now parents don't always see that, you know, they see just the score going up and what the heck is the coach doing? He's an absolute idiot and all that stuff. Our game against Douglas, though, final score 89-22. We came out on top.
Jeez.
And dude, I'll tell you, like, they, if any of the Douglas kids are listening to this, which I don't know why you are, like, you guys will be fine. You're going to be fine. We took the press off at halftime. Like, we were a half court defense the rest of the game, and they just weren't good, right? The refs were absolutely awful also. But I get a fine like that, like an NBA coach. But I just, like, those moments like that, I like the guys are jacked up and all this stuff, and then our varsity loses, and that's the end game for me. Like, yeah, it's great to win a freshman game and see some success and sophomore games and JV games. But like, if our varsity is not winning, it's all a moot point to me. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, I don't know. I just told those guys, I was like, they're jacked up, and then they get on the bus and you got freshmen running their mouth at varsity guys like, oh, you guys are just mad because you didn't win by 60 or whatever. And I like looked at them. I'm like, you guys can't feel good about yourselves beating up on a bunch of bums. You know what I mean? Like, no. It's such a weird, it's like such a weird dynamic now. Like, yes, we love to win, and that's what keeps our jobs as coaches, unfortunately, because everybody just cares about wins and losses instead of character development. But yeah, I'm just like, you just watched your varsity lose to a team we could have beat, and all you could think about is how awesome you were in your game. Like, I don't know, as a player, as a freshman, and I played varsity as a freshman, and we won one game my first year when I was a freshman, and nothing, like, I hated losing, and I never saw success when we won lower level when varsity lost. It's just weird. And then, like, we lose, and the energy on the bus is like the opposite of what you would think.
Right.
Like if you get beat, I'm putting on headphones and I'm sulking by myself on what I could do better. And now it's like, we're laughing, we're joking, we're super loud. We don't even remember what happened. Like, that bugs me so much as a coach, but whatever.
No kidding.
Like, I just think it's like, not our kids in general, but like kids lately just don't care as much anymore about failing. Like, it doesn't suck as much because, and I could go on a rant on this, but I am not, I refuse to because it gets me hot. But yeah, you're not afraid of failure when you give up early. You know what I mean? Like, oh, man, I suck at this. So when I fail, everybody's gonna be like, yeah, he said he sucked. So of course is the result we expect. Nobody wants to try their absolute hardest, blood, sweat, and tears, and full of emotion, and still lose and face the crowd. They'd rather give up early, lose by a ton, and then everybody's like, yeah, it's, you know, that's just what we expect. I don't know. Well, it's weird.
Yeah, maybe I understand what you're saying. So I'm the flip side of that. Like, I would much rather have because I'm such a competitive person, have a slugfest, you know, everybody's at their peak. Everybody plays really well. And while I don't want to lose, I'd much rather lose and have left it out there and played my best and had somebody else play their best than go out there, play mediocre and blow somebody out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And
that's just me as I've gotten older too.
Yeah. And I remember like younger, even like stuff like playing video games, right? So like growing up playing Halo and Call of Duty and stuff, like it was so frustrating playing against a guy who was just quick scoping you into next week. But like the end game where you end up pulling out a win over this guy, he's got 80 kills. He almost got a nuke and you were able to pull it out. And like, I don't know. That's a weird example, but like, it's one of those things where like, yeah, when I compete, I also want my people competing at the highest. You know what I mean? Even if I get blown out, it used to bring out the best in people. Like not saying that like we had it figured out when we were younger, but like I remember playing horrible against teams we knew we were going to kill. And then against a team that we were expected to lose to, we'd play absolutely out of our minds because you just have nothing to lose. You just try your absolute hardest. And now it's flipped. Like, oh man, we're going to crush these kids. I shot 10 for 10. Oh, we're going to get killed by the best player in the state. You know, we just give up. We just roll over. So,
yep.
Weird times. Anyways, yeah, basketball corner. So, speaking of sports, we got a rank list we got to get to.
Yeah.
The greatest sports movies of all time, according to the Throw It in the Ocean podcast. I got five, Todd.
I have five as well.
You said there might be a little controversy in your list. It might be working outside the box here. So I'm interested to see what you got.
Okay.
Give me your number five.
All right. So we're going to start off. We're going to ease into it. Yep. Number five, I've got Moneyball.
Oh, that's a good movie. Yeah,
it's a dang good movie. And I just feel like it went like I remember it did get some praise when it came out, but it kind of it came and went really quickly. So if you haven't seen Moneyball, highly recommend. Yeah. It's a really good movie. I think it's based on mostly based on a true story.
Yep, it definitely is. I watched it not too long ago and looked into it a little bit. And anything Brad Pitt's in, I'm a huge fan of, but that's a whole nother ranking list.
Dude, 10 years ago, it came out in 2011.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Wild. That's so what do you got at five?
Number five, you know, I messed around with this list a little bit. And I moved some things around, but I went number five, Space Jam.
All right.
You'll see, I'll explain later on why it's not higher. I love it because it's like, that's like the movie that like, man, you got to see Michael Jordan in a different role, in a different setting. The music was good. It was super inspirational. Like every kid wanted to be the freaking, you know that feeling like jump and you reach as far as you can because you want to be like Jordan. And it's a cool feel good movie. I'm really curious to see how the second one comes out with old LeBron James. So
I'm nervous for it, man. I don't know. It's a lot
it's got a lot to live up to for sure.
Big shoes to fill. But
yeah, for sure.
So I want to caveat the rest of my list with actually all of it for both of us, but there's a ton of sports movies and there's a ton of good sports movies. Yeah. And so I picked my list based on the ones that I not only enjoyed watching the first time, but will watch again and continue to enjoy watching now. Like not every day that I want to sit down and watch Friday Night Lights or Remember the Titans or Varsity Blues or any of those. So obviously those three aren't on my top four.
Yeah, right.
So that's where I'm coming from as I give you the rest of my list here. So do you want to continue to kind of go back and forth?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, so number four for me, I've got Happy Gilmore.
Oh dang it, I didn't put that one on mine. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a super good one.
Adam Sandler, Happy Madison. I think that was kind of prior to Happy Madison, but that like led to it.
I think it is Happy Madison because there's the intro scene where the golf ball's on the tee and it gets hit into the screen. And I'm pretty sure on that part it says Happy Madison production.
It might be like one of the first ones then.
Yeah. And that's like, that's like peak Adam Sandler. Like, I also want to talk about that guy. Do you like Adam Sandler?
I actually really do.
I do too. But like, I don't know why. I honestly can't stand a lot of his older movies. Happy Gilmore is a great one. But like some of his older movies, like right off the top of my head, Little Nicky, absolutely awful.
He did some terrible movies. Yeah, he did some
terrible movies. But I don't even like what's the one I can't ever think of.
Like older or newer?
Older, like one of his most famous where he goes back to school. Yeah, Billy Madison. I hate that movie. I can't stand the Adam Sandler voice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The voice that he did for so long. I don't know what it is. I honestly think Adam Sandler's best movies are the grown-up movies.
Those are good. Really good.
Those crack me up because it just seems like a bunch of dudes that he had grown up with just hanging out together, talking trash to each other. It's like, that's why I like it so much. But anyways, all right.
Chuck
number
and Larry.
Four. Yeah, oh my God.
Dude, they couldn't make that movie now.
No, not at all.
Sorry. Number four.
Number four. I got The Big Green. The soccer movie with the little kids and the goat. The Big Green. Remember that movie?
I don't know if I... Oh, I'm looking at the cover. I do remember it now.
Dude, I've watched it a lot, right? Like, I watch it a lot. It's just like, it's a feel-good movie, right? You know, you get a bunch of ragtag kids together, which you're going to see that theme in my movies. I didn't pick one serious movie, by the way. So a bunch of ragtag kids get together, and they form something special. And the best scene is the goalie. Every time he plays against a team and they're storming at him because they have no defense, he pictures like what their mascot is in real life. So if like they're the Knights, he just sees a bunch of like dudes in black armor riding down the pitch and Knights. And if it's like the Vikings, they're all running at him with swords, kicking the ball. Dude, it's such a good movie. And it like has heartwarming moments where the Spanish kid, you know, he shows up and he's now the best player on the team. And yeah, oh, it's such a good movie, dude. The Big Green.
I'm going to need to rewatch that because I think I saw it, but it's been, maybe I saw it once when I was 10.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Crazy. Good one. Good one there. I like it. Okay. So on to number three. This one, I'm curious what your thoughts are going to be.
Okay.
I got Basketball. At number three.
Oh my God. First off, talk about another movie that literally can't be made now. Like, think about some of the jokes that are in that movie. Like that,
oh,
that
I know.
Movie's not being made again.
I know.
I agree, dude. Basketball is hilarious. It's from the creators of South Park.
Yep.
Matt and Trey. And dude, that is a good movie. I'm going to watch that movie again because that is a funny movie. That's a sport for sure. Like,
oh,
especially because it develops into a legitimate professional sport in that movie. So, basketball.
It's just absurd. The whole thing is absurd.
Geez, it's hard to spell, honestly.
I know.
Basketball. 1998. Holy crow. That's funny. 6.5 out of 10. 42% on Rotten Tomatoes. So,
it's actually higher than I thought it would be.
That's a out there choice that should be on that list.
All right.
Number three, Little Giants.
That's a good movie. I like it,
dude. Everything from the nerdy kid who draws up the plays to what is the main actor's name that was also in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? What is that guy's name?
God, I don't know.
Little Nicky popped up, by the way, on my search, which is really sketchy. What is that guy's name? IMDb.
Wait, are you talking about which kid are you talking about?
Rick Moranis. He's the coach. Rick Moranis.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, did you ever hear the story about that guy?
Didn't he get like, well, new recent story?
No, like he was huge for a while. He was like a monster comedian in every movie, and then he just fell off the face of the earth.
Yep.
Yeah, his wife was diagnosed with cancer, and he quit acting and to take care of his family and be around his family, and like, just what a great guy.
I think I did know that. But did you hear about in like late last year he got sucker punched in New York?
Really?
He got sucker punched and got like hit his head on the sidewalk and like almost like it fucked him up.
Dang, that's not good.
You didn't hear about that?
I thought that's what
you were going for. Yeah.
No. So yeah, Little Giants, again, it's about the fancy football team that has all the gear and all the skill and talent in the world, and then this ragtag group of kids get together, and they end up beating them. The kid that can't catch, and they put the tar on his hands, and then he accidentally touches his jersey, and then he's like,
oh, yeah.
And then the kid who's like the heartwarming moment, the kid whose dad is always gone, and then he gets the ball and he sees his dad, and like nothing stops him as he gets to his dad. Like, it's such a good movie, dude. And again, 1994, like we're talking back in the day stuff. So
damn, that's way old. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So
solid. I like it.
Yep.
All right. Number two, curious to know if you ever saw this, but if you haven't, you got another one to watch. So number two, I've got Senna, the racing movie / documentary.
Yes, I have seen that. And I actually really did like that movie.
It is amazing.
I didn't put it on mainly because like you'll see like my list has a trend because I'm just a child, but like as far as like more realistic and serious movies go, I definitely would put that on my list.
It's such a good story, and just it's kind of I mean, it's sad, honestly, but like the whole story and his legacy, and it's just phenomenal. Ayrton Senna, one of the best, if not potentially the best race car driver that ever lived.
Right.
There's actually another one that's called, gosh dang it, what the heck was the guy's name? He was a British guy. He was considered one of the best racing car drivers, and he died really young too. They featured him on Top Gear one time. Jim something.
That wasn't Rush, was it?
No. No. This guy's name...
Was it Cars?
Jim Clark. Jim Clark. Read about Jim Clark if you ever get a chance.
Gotcha. Nice.
Pretty dang interesting. So
Senna.
Those stories and those guys, especially racing. Jim Clark was even a lot longer ago, in like 1940s into the late 60s when he died in a crash. But Senna was like 90s, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But just doing that in a time when they were like, safety?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Not needed if we want to win, basically.
Pretty wild.
Yeah. So my number two is, I could have done a top eight here, but I chose to combine a trilogy into my number two, and that trilogy is The Mighty Ducks.
Oh.
The Mighty Ducks.
Nice.
1992, so I just keep getting further back. dude, like, I could, anytime those movies are on, like, I sit down and I, like, enjoy them for sure. A ragtag group of kids get together. And they achieve big things. And even like the second one, when they compete in the Olympics and you got all the different personalities, is great. And the third one, when they're off at their weird prep school that's also like a college, but they're only like 15, like they're trying to make the varsity squad. Like, just good stuff, man. Just good
stuff. So the tagline for the original Mighty Ducks: after a reckless young lawyer, Emilio Estevez, gets arrested for drunk driving, he must coach a kid's hockey team for a community service.
Yep.
That's, dude, hilarious.
And he was like the former hockey player. Then he gets, and you don't find out until later, but like the one guy breaks his arm and all this stuff. And then, yeah, he becomes a lawyer and he's sketchy and he's drinking. And yeah, just a great story for kids.
Oh, man. All right. I like that. All right, I think we may have number one the same.
Yeah, we 100% we do.
All right, so number one, I got The Sandlot.
Yeah, Sandlot. And it goes even further back, right?
Yeah. Such a good movie. I'll watch it anytime.
The Sandlot hits Sandlot hits really hard when you watch it in the summer, but it's good all the time.
Yep.
So, 1993 is when that movie came out.
That's a great movie. I hope everybody's watched that.
Yeah, and it's a cool story because I really like movies and TV shows that are like this, where it's like, it's just like the adventures of a group of kids. Like, I think of The Sandlot, and I think of Stranger Things, and along those lines, where it's just like the stuff that kids get into as they are just going through life, you know, a summer together. They're like, there's nothing better than a summer together. Interesting though, here, Sandlot, 1993, The Sandlot 2, awful, 2005, The Sandlot Heading Home, 2007. So
what? I didn't even, yeah. Never. I knew they had a second one. Didn't watch it. Didn't want to ruin the first one.
Right.
Which I don't think it would have. But
no. I've got a couple that I could have put on this list, but I didn't. I really like Dodgeball. Dodgeball's great.
It's great.
The Longest Yard. I like obviously the Adam Sandler version. One of the ones I was considering putting on there that I didn't, because it's not a movie per se, but is the Jordan documentary. I thought
about the same thing. And the other one that I thought about putting on here that I didn't, because it is purely a documentary, is Icarus, about the Russian doping thing in like 20, yep. was it 12? It came out recently, but I think it was from 20. It might have been 6. Right. I can't remember. It's great though. Watch that if you haven't seen that.
Yep. And then another one that would have been controversial is I would have put on there was Heavyweights. It's literally like there's like a quick scene with baseball, and at the very end there's like a go-kart racing scene. But that's like also one of my favorite movies of all time. Like if I had to make a top 10 list, which I'd love to do on this, but like I need like a month to prepare and get all my movies. I guess we kind of did. But like Heavyweights is on there. Like if I really sat down, Heavyweights is on there. So
yeah, and I think the reason I threw that note in about like just our favorite movies is because there's some truly classic sports themed movies that we obviously didn't talk about, but that if you were to ask a movie critic or Google it, you'd find in that top 10. But I like our list a lot. So
yeah, it's perfect list.
Have you ever seen, so the one that comes to my mind is The Hustler, which is Paul Newman.
Yes. Yep.
Pool. Have you watched that?
Yep, I have seen that one.
I have not, but I've only ever heard good things.
Yeah, it's good. And like Cinderella Man, like that one was really good. Like for Million Dollar Baby, you know, a lot of those movies like that won a ton of awards, and Foxcatcher about that freaking Michael Scott running a wrestling camp, a sketchy wrestling camp.
Even the Rocky movies.
I haven't seen them actually. So.
Oh, really?
I've never seen any of those. There's a soccer movie I really like called Goal. And it's just about like a kid who just is really good at soccer, and he makes it on a pro team, and that's a really good one too. It's kind of under the radar though, but it's no Bend It Like Beckham. But
you want to know what's a guilty pleasure sports movie that I can't remember. It's not on the list here I'm looking at, but it's actually pretty dang funny. Rookie of the Year.
Yeah,
when he breaks his arm, and then he has like a freaking.
He's got a rocket for an arm.
So like improbable, but it's actually kind of a fun movie to watch.
Yeah, that is a good one, because he's like in the stands and they hit it to him, and then he like launches it back to home plate from the stands.
Just so on a laser. Yeah, just zoom.
That one. And then there was the movie, I don't remember the name of it, but there's the kid who is like, he ends up being like the manager of the baseball team.
You know what I'm talking about? I do know what you're talking about. What is that movie called?
Gosh, I don't know. I'm going to look kid baseball movies from the 90s. Angels in the Outfield. Holy smokes. I forgot about that movie.
Yeah.
Sandlot, Air Bud. The Rookie, Benchwarmers. Little Big League. He becomes like the manager for like the Yankees or something like that in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or no, is it? It's the Twins. Yeah, he becomes the manager of the Twins. Yep. Classic.
Dude, that is actually a good movie.
Can we just talk about like kids movies from the 90s, right? Like everybody always kind of assumes like the 90s is kind of like the some people say the best generation of music, where grunge started coming through and all that stuff, and TV shows and all that stuff. But like I'm just racking my brain now and looking through the 90s, and there were some amazing movies. The Little Rascals,
The 90s, Jingle All the Way, full of good movies.
Beethoven movies. Pokemon started hitting the scene. Remember that movie Blank Check? That movie's in there, which is funny because he writes a check for $1 million and buys literally everything. Johnny Tsunami, Free Willy, Mighty Ducks, freaking Homeward Bound, Hook. Dude, like the 90s was a good burger, right?
Rush Hour, Tommy Boy.
It's crazy how many, the Three Ninjas, oh my God, those movies were insane.
Independence Day, Men in Black.
So 90s almost has to be the greatest generation, right?
I'm going to tamp our enthusiasm a little bit, but maybe, and I'm going to theorize this, is it because we were the right age? And then when we look back and watch those movies now?
True, yeah.
Or maybe they're just all damn good movies. Because all these movies that we're talking about, like, I don't think very many people are going to be like, those movies sucked.
Right. Like, I'm looking at The Green Mile, Good Will Hunting.
That's what I'm saying.
Contact, which, if you haven't seen Contact with Jodie Foster.
Whew, that's a good one.
Such a good movie.
It's like the original, like, alien movie, kind of.
Right.
Pretty sure. Kisses
with the Wolves. Jeez. The Blair Witch Project, Seven.
Castaway, I think, was in the 90s.
It probably was, yeah.
Titanic,
Fight Club, Braveheart, Pulp Fiction, dude. Like, I don't know, the best decade for movies, and the 90s for horror movies was pretty awesome. The 80s was a little bit better, but man, that's crazy. The 90s just kind of crushes it,
mm-hmm. Big time.
Anyways, I have a couple, I don't even know if you would call them ask an engineer question, right? They're more of just like questions I have about just driving. And maybe you might know. The first one, traffic.
Traffic is engineering related.
Yeah. I think the one will be engineer related. The other one's just kind of a weird thing that I continue to boggles my mind when I see it.
All right.
And it happened a lot recently, and that's why I really was thinking about it. So let's say you're getting off the interstate, heading up the ramp, slowing down your speed. You get to the stop sign, and the car in front of you, obviously also getting off the interstate, slows down. They hit the stop sign, and then they just go right back onto the ramp and get back on the interstate. What is happening there? What happened in their mind? Like, okay, maybe they took the wrong exit, right? You got to hop back on. But like in Spearfish, South Dakota, it happened like 4 times the other day I saw. And I don't get it. I don't understand. Like what happened in that person's life that they got off the interstate and then got right back on? Were they trying to like, I don't know. I literally can't even figure out a situation where that would be necessary in a small setting.
The only thing that I could think is, yeah, they missed the exit or something. Or they're looking for a restroom right next to an exit. And they're like, shit, there's nothing here. I don't know. Right. That is a weird
one. Yeah, it is so weird. And like, there was one too where the guy like, I pulled up to the stop sign. And the guy behind me, so I was going to turn left to go start heading into town. And the guy behind me is like right on my bumper. So I was like, okay, this guy's going to ride my ass the whole way. I turn left. He just goes straight and like flying. And I was like, well, if he had an emergency back the way he came, he would just follow me and then go the other direction. But he got off the interstate, was an asshole, and then went straight as fast as he could back on the interstate. Dude, it hurts my mind to think of what's going through their head at that time. Maybe they're just doing it to mess with me. Maybe they're like, I'm going to mess with somebody today and just get back on the interstate. God,
that is so a weird annoying. One. You gotta wonder though. I mean, I drive when we travel and are driving road trips and stuff. Like, I'm pretty careful to not take the wrong exit because there's plenty of interstate exits where there is not an on ramp.
True. Yeah.
If you miss it, you're like, oh crap, I got to go through town or something now.
Yep. Yeah, I do it definitely. Yeah, that's weird. The other one that I was thinking about was structures that are in place to prevent cars from flying off the road.
Ooh, I could talk a lot about that.
So my question is we all know like the side, what are we calling them? What are they called? Like barriers, I guess.
Guardrails?
Guardrails. Yeah, God, I couldn't think of the word. We've all seen the guardrails that are like the metal solid piece that goes over a long distance and is kind of, I'm assuming, meant to deflect the traffic if they hit it. My curiosity is the ones that are just wires. Like, what is that really doing?
Usually those are in place to stop a vehicle from entering oncoming traffic or getting down, like or if it's not going across like the center, it would be on the opposite side. It would be to keep like a truck or something from, you know, clearing the roads right away and getting down and hitting like, I mean, like a baseball field or running into something where the public could be. Almost like catch the cables are, it's called tension cable barrier or cable tension barrier. And it's literally to kind of catch errand vehicles from an obstacle.
So, you know, Spearfish, and there's a section of the interstate that goes over the golf course, right next to the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the tension cables are. I just can't picture those stopping a vehicle. Like if you're going fast enough.
So they're designed to break the posts that they're in. And then depending on if it's a passenger car or if it's a fully loaded semi, it's going to break, you know, more or less. It's going to break the correct number that it needs to stop that vehicle's basically energy. And so they're designed to take the biggest one, because if you don't design for the worst case, it's going to not work at all. But so they suck to repair, because you got, if a truck hits it, you got to repair a half a mile of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Whereas if it's a guardrail itself, you probably only have to repair, you know, 100 feet or something. But the guardrail itself is actually considered an obstacle that you try to not do guardrail wherever possible.
Right. Okay.
So, but you have to put it up to protect from like bridge piers or basically you're using it to protect from hitting something worse than hitting the guardrail.
Oh, okay. So the which is better, which is a better, like which is stopping more?
From the cable or a guardrail perspective?
Yeah.
I think they're used differently, I guess. So they're not really.
Okay, yeah.
Like, so if you go under a bridge, it's not, the guardrail's not there to stop you from crossing into the other side of traffic. It's there to stop you from hitting the bridge column, the pier. So
if you, but realistically, if you were to put up a guardrail and the cables just anywhere, just for testing purposes and crash a semi into each, which one's working better?
well, they were used for different things.
I need to know because, like, I need to know.
like, I guess.
Which is going to cause more damage to the car?
The guardrail.
Okay. Gotcha.
It's a stronger barrier than a tension cable.
Gotcha.
So it's going to, that's why I say you'd use it as infrequently as possible, because it's an obstacle. Like if a car hits a guardrail, it's a wreck.
Yeah.
But if there's no guardrail and a car hits a bridge pier head on, that's a fatality. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So it's like the lesser of two evils. And then the cable is literally just to catch a car from creating a bigger mistake or something like that.
Yeah. So realistically, if we were to just completely enclose the interstate with wires, like you still enclose it, but like the tension cables are stop you from hitting the enclosure. That's what we want to choose.
Well, the other thing is the cable, you need room behind it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? It's got to deflect probably, I bet you it's at least the length of a semi truck almost.
Okay. So then what about this? What if we build a bunk bed style of interstate where passenger vehicles are on the top and only semis could be on the bottom?
I think that's the dream. Separate the trucks from the cars.
Yeah. Yeah. And then enclose the whole thing. So as you're looking out of the interstate from your house, your window, if you're close to the interstate, there's just a 200 foot tall structure that goes all the way across America. Could you imagine that in like places like Nebraska and stuff where it's like flat, nice areas, or even like Montana, Wyoming, where there's nice scenery and that thing is just blocking everything.
That's hilarious. That's true. Yeah.
And how, like literally a graffiti artist's dream. So you have to come up with some sort of material that doesn't absorb or doesn't allow spray paint to be stuck to it. Or like I said, you put giant TVs with cameras that project what's on the other side. So when you look at it, you just see a picture or a live video feed of the other side of the structure from your angle. So then it looks like it's not even there. And then a bird just flies absolutely into it. So the bird population dies pretty quick.
Yeah, no kidding.
And animals would run into that shit all the time.
Oh. Yeah, I think the meta move would be to build it either level, like build it underground or build it like half underground. So then you could have dirt over top of it.
Yep.
And so, grass or trees or whatever.
So maybe you just do like land bridge kind of thing where you have the enclosure and it's now a rounded enclosure. The trucks are under the ground driving. The cars are like ground level. And then the animals can still cross over the top and you can put like trees and stuff up there.
There you go.
There you go. I don't know who to send it to. I'll send it to somebody and we'll get it started.
That's what they did with the channel tunnel, man. They got the water and the fish up above it.
Yeah. Man, what a great idea, a channel.
I wonder how, the channel. Yeah, I wonder how much that thing cost, man. That thing had to have cost like $7 trillion. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I couldn't. Yeah. That seems sketchy. Like you end up underwater. I don't know. That seems weird.
$12 billion today is what it says.
Oh, geez. Dang. That's cheap. That's a bargain. I also wonder too, like, is there any option that's better than like trucks? You know what I mean? Like for things, goods to be delivered, like small goods, large goods, whatever, food, non-food. Is there a better option than trucks?
Not really. That's why they're still being used. Although I have noticed, and I'm sure everybody's noticed, all the Amazon and other, even UPS and those other delivery companies have started to hire and purchase like small high roof vans.
Yeah.
Because I think they're better fuel economy and they can make quicker, like probably up to 100-mile runs than more cost effective than a semi. Even though they're hauling a little bit less.
Yeah.
I started to see those like crazy.
Yeah. We don't really see them here just because we're kind of still out in the middle of nowhere. But once they build the Amazon place like outside of Sioux Falls, I'm sure we'll start seeing them a ton.
Yeah, probably.
So, which would be nice because like we already get packages fast. Like now we'll get them probably in a day. So.
It's too quick.
Yeah, it's quick. But at the same time, it's also like. It's bad for companies that aren't like using those services, because if I can get something in a day, and then if I could get a bathrobe on Amazon in 25 minutes, or I could wait 3 to 5 days from Cabela's, you know, like that's going to hurt those kind of companies, I feel like. But
yeah, I think so too, especially now with COVID and people not wanting to go interact with people.
Yeah, man. speaking of that. The other day, so the vaccine stuff is going to be available to teachers in like February. And I'm just curious of like across the board, like how many people take it, you know, especially like in our community for teachers and stuff. I don't really have an opinion on it, I guess, right now, but I just think it'd be interesting to see how many people take it. Because after a certain point, it's a positive for the whole community.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. So it's hard too, because like obviously it's not available to kids and stuff. So like, yeah, if you have your 60 staff members all take the vaccine, great. But you still have 650 kids that haven't taken it. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't know. It's weird. Like the staff will be okay, but it's not really, the student population isn't in a great spot because they can't get it yet.
The data and stuff that I've heard is a little bit, this goes back to what I continue to say, is I've literally heard that the younger you are, the less important the vaccine is, but I've also heard people say that you might as well just get it. And so, and then that goes into my next comment for you, which was, they're saying right now that they're pretty sure the antibodies after you've had it last 4 to 6 months.
Right.
So should you get it in 6 months? Like, I don't know, because I just heard somebody say that if you're at risk or you're older, definitely get it. No questions asked. It's way less risk than actually getting COVID. Should everybody get it? Cause I've heard that as well. And literally like, how are you supposed to make a decision? That's why everybody's arguing all the time, by the way.
Right. Well, and I'm probably going to do it, because simple math here, COVID antibodies times COVID antibodies is COVID antibodies squared. So, I mean, I'm like doubled up good, you know, maybe, I also plan on taking it too, but just because of having a kid in March, like I don't want to catch it again. And then whatever, you know, like that, like we're saying, like, kids and stuff are a little bit safer, but it's just like, plus here's the thing, and this is like the most probably the most selfish way of I think about the vaccine is right now, like our school district is paying for it, like the government's taking care of it. It's two shots that you have to take 30 days. I don't know if like 6 months from now, if it's going to be free. I mean, I'm assuming it will be, but like monetarily, like that's might be enough motivation for me. So
yeah,
I'm assuming it'll be free for the next couple of years, honestly. But I just think like, well, it's free now, so maybe I should just do it now instead of waiting. And they're like, oh, it's $10. I'll be like, dang it, I should have done it when it was free.
So honestly, the research I think is still a little bit uncertain on duration, but because you had it and because Carly had it, yeah. Well, mostly because Carly had it, the kid's going to be fine. Like the kid will come out, yeah. Should come out with the antibodies.
Right. Literally.
They don't, like, I mean, the studies obviously aren't done on that, but especially yeah. Not exactly sure on how long they stay in your body, but I would yeah. say that's a bonus. And I heard, I think I mentioned it before, but like under 18, the risk of under 18 is like really, really low. And it's actually, I heard a revision discussion on that. It's actually about 14 or 15 and under is okay. Almost no risk of COVID is almost no risk to them. There's been like, this is a crazy number. I think it was like maybe 26 or 30 total deaths that they attributed to COVID under 15 in the country, which, yeah. All right, it's easy to say that's 30 kids, but statistically that's like a zero. And we gotcha. Don't know how the reporting went. You know what I'm saying? Like they could have got it while they were sick of something else. It's a little bit, that's the shady part of it, but
right.
So that's a major positive. I would think.
Yeah. Yeah. I think everything's gonna be fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm an optimistic person when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Have I ever asked you a math question on this show?
Nope.
Okay. The reason I'm asking this question is I ask a lot of kids this question, and I've even asked math teachers this question. I got some pretty interesting answers. So I think you're going to have no problems with it, but you'll understand why it's could be difficult. Okay. Well, all right. Maybe you won't. Maybe you won't because, you're not around the education system very much, so you might not understand why this is difficult.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Let's hear it.
1 + 1 + 1 + 1 × 0.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, I think it's 0.
So it's a trick. It's kind of a trick question. And I only learned this after talking to a math teacher. It technically, if it's written out, depending on the way that I write it, right? Technically you do the 1 × 0 = 0 and then you add the 3 ones. So it's 3. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But the way that you said it, the 0 exactly. Is after all the adds.
Exactly. So when written out, it's different. It could be solved differently based on whether it's said or it's written, basically.
Right.
And so that's kind of the trick. So like a lot of kids, like, yes, the answer order of operations, you always do the multiplication first, but that's only kind of implying that you're looking at it on paper. When it's said the way I said it, it's very misleading. It leads you down a certain direction, and then you can make fun of people for being like, you don't know order of operations. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, that's true.
I think it's funny, and you'll be surprised. Like a lot of kids don't know the order of operations, even on like a not on that question specifically, but like you know a piece of paper, it's written, and you see like two things in parentheses, and then like some stuff on the outside, and they like never do it right. So I think it's funny because like a lot of times like on the internet you'll see it where it's like a math problem pops up and like people get like 10 different answers, you know what I mean, because they like some people don't know order of operations or they were taught a different way or they just I don't know. So it's just kind of funny that made me think of it because I saw one last night that was it was long and complicated and I'm not going to say it out, but the answer was literally like 4, but people were getting like 391. And then the next person would be like, you idiot, it's 7. And so it's just like, I don't know. It was hilarious.
I see those every once in a while. Yeah. As well.
Yeah. So there you go. That was another sneaky one. And like I said, the way you say it completely determines the answer, whether you see it or you read it. So
that'd be a tough novelty category is math, like verbal math.
Verbal math, yeah.
And not being able to see it on paper.
Dude, it would be super hard.
Yeah, it would separate the geniuses from the average people real quick.
I think so too, because it basically becomes a word problem, doesn't it?
I think so.
Like when you read the thing where it's like the sum of the product of two numbers equals 154 if the two numbers are odd. And you're like, excuse me? So it's just like, it's like that. Like, okay, that's literally a math or a word problem. And those are the actual worst. So,
yep.
Yeah. So there's the math minute. That's what I can contribute as a teacher is a math minute and a freaking basketball minute. So what else you got on that fancy list of yours?
Well, we got some various things, but I don't know. I feel pretty good about what we've gone through so far today. I don't know how much digging deep we want to do or not do. What do you think?
Yeah. Honestly, the only other thing that we talked about last time, Todd and I have put a few things together, but we're going to refine some things. It's just kind of like the goals we had for the podcast. And one of the things that I'm looking at our list that Todd created and I contributed nothing to, one of the things that I think would be great is becoming more active on Twitter. Todd had some ideas of, you know, some of the random thoughts that we come up with on the podcast, like obviously posting some of those on Twitter and getting a following on there and hitting a certain goal of followers and interactions and stuff like that. So I think that's like one of the things I think right away would be great.
Yeah, me too.
Is to hop in on that and follow some other podcasts. Cause one of the things we talked about was interviews. And I think it'd be great to start that community of other podcasts that are doing similar stuff to us or not, honestly. Maybe it's a podcast we're interested in and it's a small time one.
Yeah.
And having them on the show or them having us on the show, because then you're just spreading the fan base to other people and you're getting your name out there and stuff like that. So I think Twitter might be a good option for us as far as producing more content, posting episodes on there, and then reaching out to other podcast creators and stuff like that. So I think that's like one of the goals that I think, of course, we want to hit a certain milestone of listeners and we want to eventually monetize and stuff like that. But like, I think the first step in that is going to be using Twitter and social media to just kind of get our foot in the door, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. I totally agree.
The problem with it is our social media department literally consists of Todd and I. So two people that are super busy. So, I mean, we'll do with it as much as we can, but maybe just getting started is the name of the game. So I couldn't even tell you what the Twitter handle is.
It's at Throwpod. It's actually super easy.
Throwpod. Yeah. Okay. At Throwpod. So if you're on Twitter and you're listening to the show, head over there and follow at Throwpod, the podcast.
Throw underscore pod.
Throw underscore pod, the official Twitter handle of the Throw It in the Ocean podcast. And we're going to start getting some stuff up there. I think that'd be a good step for us to get some stuff done. And it's not so daunting as, you know, we want to get a lot of stuff done, but if we throw everything at it, we're probably not going to get any of it done. So.
Yeah, that might exactly. Be a
good first step. So, other than that, I don't have much else.
I'm fine with that, man. Let's keep it short and tight today. And I hope. I think we got some good content out there, though.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We did. Real quick, shout out to another podcast. I'm pulling them up right now. Oops, if I could spell. Samurai is a really hard word to spell, by the way. I'm trying to remember I want to get the name exactly right here. God dang it. Here we go. Okay. So this podcast is one of the students that actually listens to our show And I'm not saying that he started a podcast based on ours. He might not even listen all the time. I just know he's one of the kids. But his YouTube channel is Guardian of the Zone, and the podcast is called Samurai of the Square Table. It looks like they got 2 episodes out now. And I, you know, I listen to it. It's just a couple high school kids talking about some stuff, and gets a little wild once in a while. And there's, you know, it's a little taboo here and there, but, I like supporting those guys, 'cause they're some of the guys that supported us as soon as we came out. So,
heck yeah.
Shout out to them for getting it started. I think everybody should have some sort of creative outlet that they can look to and contribute to, because it's like, I don't even know what this word means, but it's cathartic. You know what I mean? And I know kind of what it means, but it's just nice. Like, Todd and I get together and we talk, and then we talk about random stuff, and whether it's things going on and we get to voice our opinions, or it's complete nonsense and it takes our mind off of everything. So we hope everybody's enjoying listening. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Until next time, we will see you guys probably next week. Maybe we'll sneak one in this week, as our schedules are insane. But we'll see you guys next week. Todd, as always, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks, man. Keep on throwing in the ocean.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you guys soon. Todd, have a good rest of the day.
Later, man.